Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for the OC Spotlight. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you the most incredible people doing the most amazing things. And I hope you got your seatbelts on today here, because we're going to have a wild ride with one of the more interesting, wilder entrepreneurs and innovators we've ever had in the studio. It's our privilege to have him back again, Howard Leonhardt from Lionheart Health. Welcome back, Howard.
Thanks, Paul.
We're both in the UCI Beal Applied Innovation Center here. It's sort of a public-private partnership where the university develops new ideas, mostly health and wellness and med tech and medicines and all that kind of stuff here. And Howard made his fame and fortune doing what? You recently built a heart valve? Was that the thing years ago that put you on the map here?
The biggest hit that we had was a stent graft for repairing aortic aneurysms, and we just surpassed 700,000 patients treated with that one invention. And last week we put out a press release that Leonhardt Ventures, the parent of Lionheart Health that we're talking about today, surpassed 1 million patients treated as of June 5th.
I only say that because what you're going to announce sounds so incredible, so impossible, that everybody's going to say, oh, no, this can't be true. This has got to be some wild claim or something. This is the real deal. It's being developed in a real place by a real guy who's got a real background and all this stuff here. And so let's talk about what we're really doing. You've been here before and talking about this amazing, is it a protein we call it, Clotho, that you guys stumbled upon, that this guy in Japan originally discovered, and the benefits. You did a Clotho conference last year. This simple protein has myriad of amazing side effects and benefits, one of which, in addition to growing hair or other sorts of crazy things, may actually prolong life. Is that true? Am I overstating that here?
Since Professor Kuro, who was a guest here in this building last fall for the Clotho conference, discovered Clotho in 1997, there's been over 4,500 papers published.
Wow.
And the clear conclusion of reading through all of those papers is that if you're low in circulating Clotho, which is a transmembrane protein that's produced in your kidneys, in your muscles, and in your skin, and in your brain spine column, mostly in your kidneys, secondarily in your muscle, if you're low in Clotho, you're basically aging more rapidly than you should. And you're going to encounter
hair, skin, everything, internal, external, everything that we associate with getting older, sexual dysfunction, everything you can think of.
Joint pain, and the big one, mortality. 31% chance that you do not make it to your expected median death age, 82 for most of us male Caucasians. And not only not making it, 31% chance you don't make it if you're low on Clotho. But before not making it, you start suffering 20 years before you go. And evidence is building that if you elevate Clotho, which we can talk about in a moment, how we do that, you can stave off some of those ailments of aging. And hopefully the goal is at least stave all that bad stuff off for 20 years.
Yeah. At last year's conference here at UCI's Applied Innovation Center, you had researchers from around the world, along with entrepreneurs like yourself and innovators and academic people and all sorts of amazing people, all presenting papers, first Clotho conference ever. Hey, let's gather together and see what we're doing with this thing here. I see it does this. I'm experiencing this. All these different applications. Your specialty has been what? You've developed this bioelectrical enhancement suit. It's a fancy word. It's like a suit that stimulates your muscles, because one of the ways Clotho is built is through exercise, right?
That's correct. That's the BodStim suit by Lionheart Health. It is FDA cleared for augmenting the health benefits of exercise, building more muscle more quickly. It is not FDA cleared for treating any disease yet, and it's not FDA cleared for extending health span 20 years. But we're gathering data to help support those more grandiose claims forward. And it stimulates your muscle and causes your muscle to secrete higher levels of Clotho than normal into your bloodstream, and then that Clotho goes everywhere in your body, including up to your brain, your skin, your hair, your sexual organs, your joints, and it helps. And we've got some solid data now. The last time, a year ago, we had less data, but over the course of this year, we've compiled over data on 1,000 patients looking at brain health, muscle health, immunity health, joint health.
Because you've built some health care, what we call this, health and wellness centers? What do you call them? You've built centers around the country here and even around the world where people are, I won't say you're experimenting with it, but they're experiencing it, and you're then gathering the data from their experiences here.
That's correct. And a lot of this early data was gathered at institutions like the Federal University in Brazil, Santa Casa Hospital, and a number of institutions. And then the clinic licensing that we have is we find thriving clinics in each city, and we construct a licensing arrangement with them where we give them exclusivity for Dallas, Texas, or Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we train them and support them and help them to deliver our Lionheart Clotho Up protocol.
That's what we're going to talk about. And these are clinics that are people, this generic health and wellness. You might be going to because you're experiencing pain. You might be going because you're experiencing hair loss. You might be exploring whatever these symptoms of aging. You want to live better and live longer. Not just live longer, but live better. So all of these clinics, some of which you own, most of which I think you're licensing out here, you've been building this around the country. How many clinics are you in now around the country here?
It's about 100 so far, but 83 out of those 100 specialize in hair regeneration. They didn't buy the entire license. They're looking at adding on skin and sexual health and joint health, but right now those 83 sites just have hair. That's through a partnership with Get Hair MD, great organization.
Okay.
And then 17 clinics offer the full lineup. And the full lineup is skin regeneration, hair regeneration, sexual health, joint health, gut health, vision health. Some of them aren't equipped to handle the vision health, but a few of them do. And
you said this is just the start. This to you was the way, as an entrepreneur, these are the things people are asking for. Your goal is to really create a life, a longevity program that will live, allow people to live, what, at least 20, 30 years longer? That's the game plan? It's almost like to go in and hack the body so that it can live longer and live better for more and more people?
That's correct. And we entered about 3 years ago the XPRIZE Healthspan competition, a wonderful competition that asked teams to provide the best proof that they can to three independent judging panels on improving muscle health, brain health, and immune health.
Which and is different. You were saying the FDA would just take, they're looking at a study to see what this pill does on this one particular problem. The XPRIZE has a wider range of study where they're trying to show that you have a significant improvement. What is it? You've got to have a 25% improvement or something more than that. Explain what their criteria, what they're judging, and what's their criteria for judging, how it's different than the FDA's approach to everything here.
Thanks. And about 3 years ago, we entered the competition with 600 other entries.
600,
and last spring, we got the wonderful news that the three judging panels selected us to be amongst the top 40 semifinalists.
Which and already then, won you a bunch of money, because the X Prize, the ultimate prize is what? How much do you win if you reach this elusive goal?
$81 million grand prize.
$81 million. And you already made it from 600 to the final 40, which got you a bunch of money here already here to continue research, right?
That's correct. And April 22nd, 2026, a few months ago or weeks ago, we applied to make it to the final 10. Sometime in July or August, we'll get the answer from the judges if we made it from the top 40 semifinalists to be a top 10 finalist. And you asked about the judging criteria. So these are totally independent judging panels. Even the people of the XPRIZE, the people that put it together, are not able to influence the independent judges. They've selected some of the best muscle physiologists that have spent their entire year understanding muscle health, and brain neuroscientists that have spent their entire life to understand brain health, and then experts in immunity health, the three big pillars of this contest. And basically, we showed in our 1,000 patients that we've done so far that we submitted on April 22nd, we showed a 25% improvement of grip strength, 6-minute walk, muscle mass, leg power, all of which are criteria that the judges will look at. They'll look at the integrity of the data and the carefulness that we put together in gathering that data to make sure that it was accurate. And then in brain health, we demonstrated 15 to 25% improvement in cognition and memory. And then we also turned in data showing reduction of episodes of anxiety and depression. Wow. We also turned in some data showing better sleep that's tied to health span and longevity. And then and immunity
helps,
strength.
Helps you live not just longer, but better. It's not just adding years, but adding life to those years. All right, so now you've, obviously the core thing was to increase Clotho. You call it the Clotho Up protocol in your particular clinics and your particular approach, because you want to up the level of Clotho in everybody's body. You have now been experimenting with something else that everybody's talking about. JFK Jr., or RFK Jr., rather, is all over this as part of his new health kick and all the what should we say, non-traditional approach that he's bringing to this position here as the Health and Human Services Director. Is that what he is? He's the HHS Director, I think.
I think so.
Whatever he is, he's shaking up the world, and he's looking at lots of things that the type people like Joe Rogan and all these others have been exploring for years, which I hear everybody talking about peptides. What the heck is a peptide? Something you inject to do what?
It's a natural set of proteins, and they're shown through studies to have capacity to improve health. Now, we have to be careful about what we say, because not every peptide is proven through proper statistical controls.
It's still pretty out there for a lot of people, but it's becoming more mainstream. Isn't RFK trying to, what would you call it, allow more and more peptides to be used and approved and whatnot? Where for a long time, people were like, I'm not so sure about this.
About a decade ago, there was a peptide push, and the FDA put a ban without proper controls in having those peptides used. And they're primarily produced in compounding pharmacies. And GLP-1.
Special pharmacies where they'll make concoctions for you. They'll compound these things for you. Yeah.
That's right. And I think most people have heard about GLP-1. They are a peptide.
That's Ozempic, or is that Ozempic and all that stuff, you're injecting themselves to lose weight?
That's correct. And that has become a major impact peptide, and billions of dollars of sales and millions of users. What we have that's distinctive is that we did receive IRB approval to add peptides as an arm to our clinical trial.
All right, what's IRB approval? You throw these things out casually. That's a big deal.
It's an institutional review board approval, and part of the XPRIZE Health span is that if you're going to bring subjects into a research study, you have to have an institutional
study. Yeah.
Yep. The first step is to have institutional review board approval, meaning that a panel of experts judge what you turn in with a particular emphasis on protecting safety of the patients.
This isn't just your own random sample. We brought 50 people in and we did this. They work with you to design safety guidelines so that this is not only accurate but safe for people to go through these things.
Yep, and they make sure that you have the right design to protect the patient's safety. For instance, we have an independent data safety monitoring board. All the investigators, all the nurses have to be trained that if anything happens, how do they report it, even a rash or a headache, and anything serious basically stops enrollment until the Independent Data Safety Monitoring Board can investigate, did we cause the, if somebody had a heart attack a day after they left us, we have to investigate, even though it may have nothing to do, but they have to be extra careful. And we, with the Institution Review Board, we turn in these standard operating procedures showing we're going to train the nurses, we're going to train the doctors, we're going to have a codified reporting process for adverse events. And if these adverse events are serious, we have to report them within 24 hours to the FDA. And the FDA may put out a communication saying, anybody
hold off
in the country
look
doing
out
this, hold off until we get more information about this.
All right.
But
so
part of that is bioelectric peptide. So we, in our protocol, which by the way, the
bioelectric peptides. You just throw these terms out like we're all supposed to understand them.
Bioelectrically enhanced. So the same suit you talked about. So you put that suit on for 20 minutes. It has a cell phone size stimulator. It stimulates your muscles to secrete these proteins.
It makes them fire. It makes them open and contract and open and contract.
The big signals are not contraction signals. We do have contraction signals in there. But it what we're trying to prove with this arm with the peptides is that by putting the suit on for 20 minutes and then injecting the peptides in your thigh muscle and then wearing the suit for another 40 minutes afterwards, which is our normal protocol for wearing the suit, 1 hour.
That's your Clotho Up protocol, how to up the level of Clotho in your body here.
And so what we're trying to show that we've shown in lab studies is by doing that, you increase the uptake and the efficiency of the peptides. So peptides come in three or four different ways to deliver. Some are oral, where you just swallow them. Very low efficiency. If you swallow peptides, 3% actually make it into the cells to do anything good. Maybe the best of the best in certain types of peptides, it may reach as much as 7 or 12%.
Makes sense. Okay.
If you inject it, or if you get an IV infusion, it has a big range between 30% and 70% of it actually makes it to cells and tissues and instead of being dissolved in the acids in your stomach. And we're looking to increase that. Here in the lab, we put cells in a dish and we measured certain levels and then we put a peptide in and we didn't electrically stimulate. And then we put the same peptide in and we electrically stimulated. And we found in those particular experiments, 300% increase.
Wow.
of the level of the peptide within the cell. So it opens up the pores of the cell to let the peptide get in, and it we're this is a study. So everything I say, you know, with that claims has to be proven through a well-designed study. We have established safety before we went in. In our study, you know, it will require a different patient consent, and the IRB was very strict. They said only can source from U.S. compounding pharmacies that follow these regulations. I forgot all the numbers.
Not 505, Chinese. So much of the stuff is coming from somewhere else in China and other places here, which may or may not have the same safeguards and predictability as to what you're getting and the exact compounds, components, and all the other stuff here. So they were insistent this be sourced locally in the U.S.
And they also were so insistent on patient consent that they told us that for those patients that opt for the arm with the peptides, we have to have a separate and new patient consent from the regular study, and we have to warn them about everything that
potentially
possibly could go wrong, and that they want to make sure that the patient and the patient's doctor understands that they're entering a research protocol, it's not proven, and there may be some risk. Now, the proponents of peptides will show that there's very few bad things have happened, but a few bad things, you know, have happened, very few, and we need to report that there's a risk of that.
What kind of bad things have happened with peptides? Everybody's immediately asking. Because everywhere I go, peptides, peptides. And you go on all these other podcasts, the big ones like Joe Rogan and all this stuff, and oh, he's talking about them all the time here, and RFK's talking about them all the time. Suddenly peptides are, young men are injecting themselves with peptides, not just Ozempic to lose weight, but other things to build muscle mass and other things. And
I prefer actually not to comment on that because okay. I don't want to get it wrong and it could be misconstrued.
Well, look it up for yourself. It has been controversial in the past. It's now racing forward with things like Ozempic and whatnot, and the government's suddenly supporting these things and pushing them aggressively, and more people are experimenting and trying. So
I can say that most of the reports of some negativity on peptides have been around the GLP-1 where people lost too much muscle, and we're not including the GLP-1 in our peptide mix, so that wouldn't be
good.
Included.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get at here.
They can do that separately, perhaps. But I would like to talk about the components of the Lionheart Clotho Up protocol in case somebody would want to join. So it's relatively simple.
This
so what
is
we
the
turned-
clinical study that you're doing now in the hope to present this evidence to this major giant XPRIZE thing. They have XPRIZEs for all sorts of stuff. Didn't it start way back with Lindbergh or something when they tried to give a prize to flyer cost? I forgot how the XPRIZE developed, but they have you can go look it up on the internet. This XPRIZE, this seems to be an XPRIZE for all sorts of different things now.
It's modeled after the Goring Prize that Charles Lindbergh won, $25,000 for crossing the Atlantic before anyone else could, but it's not actually connected to that prize.
These are like private entrepreneurs that come together and say, we're going to put up a bunch of money to stimulate somebody to do something we want to see. And that day it was fly across the Atlantic, which seemed impossible. Now there's what? There's a whole bunch of different XPRIZEs. They have a website, and you can see all the different XPRIZEs they've put out there, one of which is for what? Longevity, they're calling it here? Is that the one?
It's for health span. And you started to touch on earlier that for the most part, the FDA is one pill for one disease.
Yeah.
You take a pill, you have fatty liver disease, and does the fatty liver disease go away? The XPRIZE health span is more holistic. It certainly is looking at muscle health, immune health, and brain health. But it also, beyond that, let's say that in this, if we made it to the final 10 and then we make it to the final 2 and we're tied across the board for mental health, muscle health, and immune health, the three pillars, the tiebreaker XPRIZE authorities have said will be holistic health. So we've done vision studies and sexual health studies and joint health studies, which are a little bit different than muscle, brain, and immune, with the idea that this would fit into the tiebreaker of holistic. And it's something that everybody aging faces. You start to lose your vision. I've got glasses on now. You start to lose your hearing.
Yeah.
Skin wrinkles, hair falls out, and your joints get sore. And we have gathered data on all of those. And the Clotho Up protocol, which you can go to lionheartlongevity.com and click through the clicks to learn about the how do you enroll in the protocol. And the protocol in summary is basically clotho-favoring food. So we deliver with our partners, one of which is Metabolic Meals, healthy, fresh meals to your house. You have to eat those healthy meals if you're in the protocol 70% of the time. We decided not to fool around with breakfast and lunch. We hope you eat a healthy breakfast and lunch, but in the protocol, you could actually eat whatever you want, Fruit Loops even.
And I'm safe then. Okay, all right.
And then we made it only 70% of the time. Some people ask, why did you only make it 70? We wanted it to be real world. Nobody in the real world is going to eat healthy.
Living in a perfect bubble where everything is perfect all the time here. Because it's got to be something you can mimic in the real world here.
And that's part of the XPRIZE, as they said, part of the voting criteria by the judges is if this could really be delivered to widespread population. They call it scalability. But these healthy meals are good. Metabolic meals, I've tried them. You get the hamburger, but you don't get the bun. And it's not tofu and stuff like that. And Clotho is a protein diet. You get your chicken, you get your fish, you get your steak.
Because like anything, that's another way to stimulate Clotho naturally in your body is eating better, exercising better. You can develop some of these things on your own, but you got to really work at it to do this. You're trying to combine all the best of those along with this biostimulation suit and now proteins even.
Yep, and then we have supplements. So you have the healthy meals delivered to your house, and then we have three different supplements. One is called Rejuvent, and it's a AKG supplement, and they have done three studies, two of which have been published. And to shorten up the story, they've shown 8 years reversal of age just with their supplement, taking the tablet, and it's very easy.
Reverse aging just by taking some supplements. At least some reverse in your aging process here, yeah.
Yep. And then right here in Orange County, Kim Ressler and a team at SNP Nutrigenomics, we partnered with them in this study, and they take a saliva sample. It's sent to the laboratory right here in Orange County, and they develop a customized nutrition mix, a powder that is based exactly only on your individual body needs. Mm. If you need more zinc than I do, you're going to have more zinc in your vitamin mix than I have, and magnesium. And they look at all the key nutritional elements.
Which is a key component. We do other shows based on things here at UCI. And more, they're not trying to come up with one size, one pill, one treatment for everybody, but more personalized medicine, more directly where they really decide what you need and come up with a customized injection, pill, protocol, something that's delivered just for you.
That's what this is, and we really believe in that, and that's why we partnered with SNP Nutrigenomics. Another partner is called Live Long Prosper. The founder was a
Star Trek fan,
and they've created a product called Heart Effect, and it is an ApoB reduction supplement. And we measure the ApoB levels in the patients coming into our study.
I don't even know what those are. But
it's a protein that if it is high, your arteries and your heart valves and within your brain is more likely to have calcification. And if you take this supplement, it at least is shown to slow down progression of calcification. In some studies, there's hope that it even reverses calcification. Same thing with Clotho. Clotho is known to prevent calcification and is known
and calcification. Go look that one up. That's how you get clogged arteries and heart attacks and strokes other stuff here. Yeah.
And amyloid plaque within the brain, which may or may not be connected. We've done a lot of
shows on amyloid plaque buildup. That may be Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, rather.
Both.
All right, so
The healthy meal, the healthy supplements, and then we do 461 biomarkers, so we establish a baseline where you're at with all of these aging biomarkers, and then at 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year, we measure again. And then for the bioelectric stimulation, everybody in the trial at minimum has to wear our BodSTIM suit that stimulates your muscles to secrete Clotho 1 hour twice a week. And within that 1 hour, 5 minutes of stretching, 20 minutes of exercise, and then the remaining 35 minutes, you do whatever you want, but you leave it on. And it's stimulating. It feels like a tingling feeling. Most of it is not contraction. The 20 minutes during exercise
I thought it was all contraction.
Just the Clotho is not a contraction signal. It feels like tingling, and some people say it sounds like it feels like somebody is rubbing or flickering pine needles on you, but it doesn't hurt. It just feels.
So, Howard, you've got in this study, and I'm sorry, how can they enroll in the study? Where can they find out?
I want to give the final component. So, the other thing is that we assess brain health, joint health, sexual health, skin health, hair health, and separate from the suit, we have a brain band that you put on your head to stimulate your brain, a knee wrap to put on your knee, underwear to put in your sexual organ area, a stomach wrap to stimulate your stomach for gut-brain health. And depending on the assessment...
A lot of people talking about the connection between the gut and the brain.
That's true. Doctors that are trained in our network, they will decide with you if you want, separate from the BodSTIM suit, a knee treatment, a brain treatment, a skin treatment, a hair scalp treatment, a sexual treatment. And that's delivered with a stimulator about the size of a personal computer. Mm-hmm. The clinic versions are high fidelity, like a Bang & Olufsen stereo. And then the
good stuff. I can testify to that. Bang & Olufsen, that's good stuff.
And then there's special arms. So that's everybody has to do the BODSTIM. Everybody has to take the vitamins. Everybody has to eat the healthy meals. That's mandatory. Then optional arms include the bioelectric peptides that can be done in the United States with the right steps and the right sourcing and the right patient consent. And then we have an arm that you could opt for to go outside of the U.S. Again, separate patient consent, separate IRB approval for that.
To do things that people do travel to other countries to try that may or may not be legal, approved, or available here type of thing.
That is correct. So that would include the Clotho expressing stem cells, would include the Clotho gene therapy, would include exosomes, include umbilical cord cells, and you can opt into that advanced arm. It's higher risk, higher cost, have to travel, but for certain people that is an option. And
so is this just for the wealthy? I read all the time that the Peter Thiels of the world, the guy that's funded Facebook and so many other things here, and so many people like him, the trillionaires, the billionaires, they caught in an open President Xi in China offhandedly talking with President Putin about, what do you think of this? Can we live to be 180? Can we live to be 150? Clearly, people with extreme wealth and extreme power would love to prolong that. Are they the only ones that are going to see the benefit of these advances in science, or are you trying to make it available to the masses too?
Part of the XPRIZE health span criteria, they call it scalability, but they define scalability as being able to not only produce it in mass volume, but to have a ability for the normal person to be able to participate.
Because that's what I'm afraid of. This is just something for the billionaire class. This will be something that they'll live to be 180, and we'll still die at 60 or 70 or whatever here, because we won't have that.
I'll give you some of the costs. So the healthy meals we're talking about average about $11, $12 a meal.
Okay.
It's hard to go out anywhere here in Orange County.
You go to McDonald's.
And these are healthy, good meals delivered to your house, fresh. By the way, they're not frozen. So we had top nutritionist advisors, including Misha Hyman, the son of Mark Hyman, one of the most notable gurus in healthspan longevity, has his own company worth billions, Fountain Health. His son works with us as a nutritional consultant. He believes food is medicine, and he
told
us
that
we had to choose a home delivery that was not frozen, because you lose a lot of the nutrients when you freeze the food. So
or unfreeze it in a microwave, and yeah, exactly.
So that's $12 a day, and that pretty much, we think that's within reach of most of the people. And again, you don't have to do it every single day, but 7 out of 10 days. And then the supplements are basically $2 a day, and that adds up, but it's not too bad. $2 each. So if it's three different ones, it's $6 a day. But it's not tremendously expensive. The BODSTIM suit, it sells for $24, but we offer financing. And for people that are trying to spread their money out, we can take 10% down, so $240 down. And
so
then
they can actually purchase these suits now, or is it still, I have to go to you and you put it on, and then I pay you for that session?
No, you can purchase it, you can lease it, you can rent it, and we try to work around affordability to make it more available.
But they still can go in? Is it just if I want to just try it for a session?
No, we can ship it to your house, you put it on, you do a video onboarding with one of our onboarding specialists.
So they got to get a suit to do this and then take all these other things and be part of the program. And then they go into one of your clinics and you measure this, monitor it, administer it, oversee it, all these things based on the criteria.
Yep, they have to at least come in for two baselines. The health span said they want the baselines taken twice because there's learning variability.
Yeah. How do we know if you're getting better if I don't have a baseline?
You got to do a cognition test on the computer, and some people get a little flustered when they're doing the first test.
Anytime you take a test, there are those that just freak out.
Yep. And then you at least have to come back at the one-year point, because the contest is the treatment over 1 year. We do have a three-month and a six-month follow-up. And you can kind of work with your doctor to determine which of all the tests you want to do at 3 months and 6 months, but you absolutely have to do them all at baseline and all at 1 year. And then again, that would be grip strength, but it's not a big deal. You just squeeze a little thing, down a hall for 6 minutes, and they time
it. See where you're at, and see how do we know if you got better?
There's a leg power test. In fact, it surprises the heck out of me that this study came out saying the leading predictor, there's two leading predictors, the two leading predictors of whether you're going to live long, putting genetics aside, which maybe overrides all that.
Yeah.
But
your family lives into the 90s, you got a good chance to live in the 90s.
Yep. But the other two predictors, number one is leg power.
Leg
power. So they've
associated
that if your legs are strong, you have a much higher chance to live longer than if your legs aren't strong. And everybody's trying to figure out what it does. And that just mean those people are exercising more?
Can I anecdotally add to that?
Yeah.
So my late mother and her sister both had very poor, their legs swelled up, edema, as they got older.
Boy.
And so their legs became like elephant legs. And as they blew up, they hurt. It was hard to move. It was hard to get up. And what happened? Their health went downhill. They fell more often. They sat more often. They ached more often. They slept poor. All the indicators. And you say, gee, why did they die? Why did they live not as long? I say, because they stopped moving.
Yep.
And they stopped moving because they lost leg strength. And
well, data would support what you said, yeah. Keep moving. And we covered in one of our other episodes that Michael Levin was giving a speech, and he could all full of science, and he could tell that the audience was over with too deep in science. And he said, let me put it a way everybody can understand. Through most of evolutionary history, we were tribal. We're still tribal, but different way. And basically, biology designed evolution, or through evolution, that if you were unuseful to the tribe, it was better for you to die off. If you're no longer using your brain, no longer using your muscle, no longer having sex, you weren't helping to catch the woolly mammoth, you weren't helping the tribe to solve problems.
You're not helping the tribe. Let's get rid of this one. They're a burden on the tribe here.
What happened is biology did that. The tribe didn't decide, but biology has a way of favoring survival.
Right.
And basically, when you stop being useful, you start a cascade of protein releases, which includes drop of clotho, and that leads to dying off. And it wants you to die off because it thinks it's better for the whole tribe for you not to be taking resources when you're not contributing to catching the woolly mammoth or solving the problems.
People got to take care of you instead of you take care of them and your burden and all this stuff. So you're saying as those activities decline, as you contribute less, somehow your body starts releasing less of this clotho and stuff, almost like naturally killing you off?
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
Yep. And the way to stave that off, the positive, is keep moving, keep using your brain, keep having sex.
Keep
three things.
Being useful.
and then you're going to fool Mother Nature that you're still useful to the tribe. And people heading towards retirement, I love the idea. You're going to reduce your stress. You're going to relax. You worked all your life. But I would advise, keep moving. Walk around that lake that you're living on in the cabin.
That's
and
so many people,
somehow, some way, keep your brain active. And I don't, you know, choose your own way.
So many people die within a couple of years of retiring. What happened? They suddenly go downhill.
It really is turning out to be scientifically validated that if you're not moving, not using your brain, not having sex, those three things, you're setting yourself up to be gone earlier.
Wow. Yeah, I better start stimulating all of those in my life here. All right. Some bold claims, but you've backed them with science. You're continuing this in a scientific approach, and it's all part of your own entrepreneurial story to build these clinics and to bring this kind of health care, this longevity to the masses and just not just the few. And it's being proven through this wild thing called the XPRIZE. Go look it up. They've set out this lofty goal. If you can prove in those three areas that you've extended life, what, 25 years or 25% or something like that?
20 years is the goal.
And if you can demonstrate that you're doing that, then they're going to give award somebody $81 million as an incentive to pursue this. And you're already gone from 600 applicants down to the final 40. Maybe this summer, just maybe, knock on wood here, with all you're doing, you might make it into the final 10.
I want to take a moment to praise the XPRIZE Foundation and the XPRIZE Health Span. The not trying to win any points, the judges don't pay attention to that.
But
it truly is a vigorous science that is in the judging process. But in being part of this, and I actually have an interview tomorrow about our experience of being part of it, we realize that in itself is an amazing innovation. So they created a very lofty goal. They galvanized 600 entries to all compete with each other.
And they've stimulated all of you to pursue this in a way that you might not have done otherwise here.
And what we like about it is the holistic. And of course, since we're in it and we put all this effort into 1,000 patients and turning in the big, long application on April 22nd that went to the judges, they're going to have a judges retreat July 11th and 12th where they're all going to argue and talk with each other about who should make the final 10. And then shortly thereafter, they're going to have an announcement ceremony. The actual check will be given sometime in August at the University of Utah. University of Utah has partnered
a big check,
a million dollar check at that time, and then $81 million for the grand prize. But of course, in the process here, we all use ChatGPT and other AI. And I typed in ChatGPT
just for fun.
What's likely to happen to the ultimate winner of the Health Span X Prize competition?
If when somebody shows this and wins the X Prize, because it's not to be determined that anybody will win it. They've got to prove it.
Yep.
Let's say somebody can prove it and get to this $81 million top of the mountain, not just for the money, but to show that kind of holistic improvement and lengthening of life. What would that mean to that company?
And that's focused on clinical outcomes and scalability and the ability to improve mobility and clarity, mobility, purpose, connection, independence. And AI came back. And
this is what the artificial intelligence out there. If you could do this, what do you think, ChatGPT? What impact would that have? What meaning would that have for the company, for the country, for the culture, for the world here?
And again, not saying that is proven or that's us, but AI came back and said the company that ultimately definitively proves with vigor, scientific vigor, 20 years reversal of age or 20 years improvement of health span.
They can show that, right.
They are likely to become the most valuable company in the history of the world, more valuable than NVIDIA, SpaceX, Tesla, Google, and Apple combined.
Oh, my God.
It said economic impact would be about $31 trillion.
Does Elon know this? Is he working in the wrong field here?
SpaceX is set for a $1.7 trillion IPO this Friday.
Yeah.
And this would dwarf that, according to ChatGPT.
Because the whole world could suddenly live longer and live better. If you could really generate those kinds of results, what would that do? How many people would buy into those programs? How many products would you sell? And what kind of impact would they have in the world to extend our life that well, that long, and that much better? Unbelievable. This is pretty mind. People listen to this shaking their heads saying, oh man, come on. This is just some other snake oil crazy thing or whatever here. So much of this stuff when I watch the Joe Rogans of the world, I say, hey, really? Is that really going to change my life and do all these things? You're saying there's scientific proof behind it and strict protocols and rigid rules, which the FDA is watching, which other people are observing, and which entrepreneurs like you are vigorously going after, partly to prove it, partly to win the prize, and partly to create that kind of impact and potentially that kind of economic engine, something we've never seen. This isn't just industrialization anymore. This isn't just the internet of ideas and information anymore. This isn't just AI gathering everything and spitting it back to us faster than we humans could possibly do it. This is changing human life.
Even I am skeptical whether the lighter versions with wearables can reach that goal. But I just came from a meeting. We have the UCI Capstone program. We're now on our fourth grant, and we have a group of very bright master's degree students in engineering from UCI working. And what we're working on is the Lionheart Octopus Project. This is something I have high confidence is going to be able to have a very big impact. And this is a pump that you implant under your skin, has a silicone septum in it. So it's a physical pump that is already used for morphine delivery or for chemotherapy delivery, two bad things. We send the patients home with a syringe full of Clotho-expressing stem cells that have been genetically modified with an adeno-associated viral vector that penetrated the gene package into the cell, and they excrete more Clotho than normal. We would inject that into the pump. It's suspended in a nutrient hydrogel, like an egg yolk that's made of amniotic fluid, Wharton's jelly, placental factors. Mm-hmm. It's a gelatin that's like an egg yolk that helps
I'm nodding because I'm thinking back a year ago. To how many people do you have here? 100, something like that, participants, a couple hundred or whatever. You had people from all over universities, all over the globe, researchers. Remember you had that one guy, Dr. Joseph Maroon, who was fascinating. He used to be with head injuries, whatever you call that, and he has his own practice at the University of Pittsburgh. He teaches there, and he was part of the Pittsburgh Steelers and their recovery program, and he works with brain injuries, and not just athletes, but people have had spinal cord injuries. And he was saying, I'm seeing improvement potential to restore spinal cord injuries and functions with just increase of Clotho in the body. Everybody's seeing phenomenal things. But the question you were all debating is, how do we do this? Do we stimulate electronically? Is it through food? Is it through greater physical exercise? Is there a stem cell that I can just inject? And everybody was debating what's the best way to crank up clotho in your body here. And you're experimenting now with things that do sound scary to me, stem cells and all these other things here.
And gene therapy. And I ultimately believe that kind of technology. We also implant a pacemaker-like device, and we put positive and negative on the organ to be treated. And this is being designed to treat all organs. So failing heart, failing kidneys, failing liver, failing pancreas, brain, lungs. And I personally believe that platform has much higher chance of making these very, very lofty goals than just wearing a suit and taking peptides. Wearing the suit and taking peptides can definitely help. And I do want to mention something that we lost Ted Turner about 3 weeks ago, died at 87. I know that like a lot of people, and particularly wealthy people, he saw that health is what real wealth, and he was doing everything
he could. Doesn't matter how much money you have if you're not, or the before that, the guy who started the Steve Jobs story.
Yeah, that as well. And in his case, he was doing his best to eat healthy. He was definitely exercising. He was trying to check off everything. He wasn't perfect. He had his cigar every once in a while, yeah. His glass of whiskey or something. But he was making a super special effort because when you're that age, being able to...
You hear it knocking on the door, and you're not ready to go yet.
So that commitment to lifestyle changes got him from 82 to 87.
Right.
Statistics say that he was supposed to go at 82, being a white Caucasian descent, but he made it to 87. So my point is, and I've published on this, that lifestyle changes are really important, and they're really helpful.
Yeah.
But probably only going to get you 5 years. Beyond 5 years, you need technology. And I have to admit, I'm biased. I'm a technology guy. I make pacemakers, and I make pumps, and I make biological compositions and suits. So, you know, I want to advocate for technology. But I really believe if you want to go from 5 years to 20 years, it can't just be lifestyle. Now, I'm not cutting down lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. I'm saying
do it. It's a start.
It's a great start in the right direction, and it's supportive. And we talked before, my oldest son, Ryan, we grow grapes, we make wine, and...
As if you don't do enough things, you got all these other little fun projects on the side.
Well, he's doing that. He went to school, and I'm so proud of him, and for Sonoma State University graduate of viticulture, wine business management. But where I wanted to make the connections, it's interesting that, of course, growing grapes is biology. It's a living...
It really is.
And
how they interact and how the
how holistic it is. And it also contrasts what we said about the FDA earlier, that the FDA is saying just test one thing at a time. So it'd be like throwing dry grape seeds on dry soil and seeing if you got great grapes and great wine. And we learned in farming, which we got experts in who knew a lot more than we did, but we eventually caught on. You've got to get it all right. You've got to aerate the soil. You've got to get just enough water, not too much water, not too little water. You need to
enough sunshine,
get the right canopy. You've got to put them in the right direction. Some fertilizer, but not too much fertilizer. And really what was interesting that equates to what we're doing is this whole thing of balance, that too little water is really bad, too much water is really bad, and just the right is. And in doing this health span and longevity research, we're finding the same things.
Pattern. And you're going to grow seeds or you're going to grow people. It's all the same here.
Yep.
And
the idea that people would say, just study seeds, don't mix around with the fertilizers and aeration, that's too complicated, you're not going to know. You have to do it all. 1 year, we weren't getting enough sun, 2015, I think it was, and so we decided to cut back the leaves, and then all of a sudden it got 105 degrees and all the grapes turned to raisins. We did everything else perfect.
It's dried up and turned to sugar.
So you got to get the whole system right.
And you've hit what I think is the foundational problem with Western medicine. This is just me and my opinion, but I think I speak for a lot of aging baby boomers. Western medicine is wonderful. If you want to replace your knee or fix your heart, it has increased our life dramatically. The heart valves and the stents and all the stuff you've helped develop and a million other people in buildings like this across the country, it has extended our life. But we're always looking as Americans for the magic bullet, the silver bullet, the magic pill, the one thing. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to eat. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to take it. Just give me one thing. Give me the magic pill, the fountain of youth. I'll drink it. I'll eat it. I'll do it. And presto, everything goes away. We all know it's much more complicated than that. It's got to be a more holistic. It's got to have health and exercise and food and mental and stimulation and all these other things to keep you alive and keep you worthwhile in the tribe here. And yes, that'll take you so far. You're saying technology can push it even a little further here, perhaps dramatically further here. We don't know what the outer boundaries are of how much. We had somebody come in years ago, and not you, but somebody else came in, and they were writing a book or doing something. I don't remember the context, but it was they were doing research into longevity. I said, somewhere on this earth today is the first child that will live to see 150 years of age. And I thought, well, that's just a wild statement. You're just doing that so everybody will tune in to hear this thing. But maybe it's true. Maybe 150 is the... Any idea? What are you aiming? Because you have these... I know, now we're way off into science. Your own dreams. I've heard you talk about getting to a point where there could be a womb, a human womb room, and you sit in the womb room and all this magic stuff happens, and all along with all the other things you do with lifestyle and stimulation and keep your brain going and all these wonderful things, but you could literally regrow a human. What's your answer? That's way out. That's science fiction still, but it's becoming not so crazy.
I, without question in my mind, and having worked in this, I was involved with regenerating our first heart in 1988. Heart with muscle stem cells with Dr. Ray Scow and Dr. George McGovern. And after all these years at it, I absolutely, positively, without question, believe that the future is a womb for adults, that you'll go into a chamber, you'll get an umbilical cord type
plugged in,
and you'll get all kinds of placental factors, amniotic fluid, and bioelectric signals, and stem cells, and you will be regenerated. All your organs, including your
jelly
brain,
or all these other things that people talk about, all this stuff is going to be combined into something, and you're going to get zapped and reprogrammed and grow like you would, like
your old body will basically be used as a scaffolding for your new body.
You had somebody at the Clotho conference. I know we're going way over here, but you had somebody at the Clotho conference talking about growing hearts from pig hearts, and then they clean it all out, and then somehow reprogram it and regrow it, and you start with this little. I don't remember the woman's name, but
Dr. Doris Taylor.
Stunning.
She's a great friend, and we've worked together since 1998. She published a paper in Nature of regenerating hearts with muscle stem cells back in 1998, and I flew to meet her, and we've been friends and working colleagues since then.
Grow your own heart. Don't get somebody else's heart and stick it into your body. Grow your own heart.
But like a good example, dearest of friends, and there's a place for that, but we different approaches. We want the same thing. I'm a believer of regenerating your own heart in your own body. She is taking a pig heart and getting all of the pig cells and materials out, and they create like a ghost white scaffolding. Exactly. And then they take your cells, plant them in that, and build a heart outside of the body, and then require a surgery to put it in. It could be a great contribution. It would avoid the waiting list for transplants.
Yeah.
But we're the dearest of friends, but we debate about this, and I'm in the camp of regenerate your own heart, regenerate your own heart valve, your own brain, your own liver, your own kidneys. She's in this camp of grow it on the outside and put it back in. She also believes in regenerating your own organs. That's
and you're both trying to say what's doable, too, in the immediate future. What you're saying may be 100 years, 50 years, a million years into the future. What she's trying to say is let's just not rely on transplants anymore.
You know what? That brought up a subject, and I want to say something. Paul, off the radio, you and I talk about politics, and we are similar that we're balanced. And I wanted to say about, we just finished this primary season, and there's a relationship between being a medical innovator, Doris Taylor is, like I am, and politics. And what it is that I'm in my 42nd year of managing medical device companies, and we always have this balance that you have to have safety, and you have to have quality, and you have to slow down a little bit to make sure that everything is right before you endanger a human subject. On the other hand, we have people on this side dying because they can't get access to innovations, and you're worried that some people that because you're waiting too long, right, that they're going to die. And it's not as though the left side or the right side is right or wrong. They're both right, and finding the balance is right. And we have to practice this. And we have also return on investment. People that have taken their life earnings and it's taking 10 years, it's taking 15 years, and we don't have any more time before the retirement funds that we partly gave you are not going to have any use. And you have a medical device CEO or biotech CEO has all of this weighing on their shoulders, and you have to get the balance right. One side, if you go too fast and dangerous, that's wrong. and focus only on money, that's wrong. And if you take too much slow. Conservative to get to market, your investors are dead, and the patients that needed your
product. Look at our human being. We've got two halves to our whole here. We've got at least two halves. We've got a logical brain, and we've got an emotional aspect to it, too. And plus, part of it, are we acting emotionally? I want it. I need it. I got to have it, like a little kid. Or are we acting rationally and too much thinking about it?
What I don't like is that, like, we just explained Doris. I love her, adore her. And just because we disagree about how to regenerate a heart doesn't mean that we have to be enemies. We should debate about it. And in politics, I see, like, my grandfather was a Democrat. And I voted Republican most of my life. And he was a union leader. And what he believed in was the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. He was a farmer that became a laborer. And what he wanted was a 40-hour work week.
Yeah.
He wanted overtime for his workers. He wanted safety protections in the workplace. And the Democratic Party leaned a little bit more towards protecting the common worker.
Particularly the Minnesota. Go look up the Democratic Farm Labor Party. These are the people that voted for socialists. The Eugene Debs in the 20s and stuff.
Well, the Hubert Humphrey was my grandpa's favorite and grandfather's favorite. And he told me, okay, you're Republican. I told him I was all excited about voting for Ronald Reagan, who I still love today. And he said, Howard, money always has the ultimate power. And when you have the Republican Party controlling government and the money with their power, it's a little bit imbalanced towards that way. And when he said, when you have the Democrats in office and have to counter the powers of money. They still lose, he said. Money overpowers all of it. But he said, at least it's a little bit more balanced to protect the worker, to give him a safe workplace, give him some health insurance, give him a chance to have a house.
I'll wrap it up this way.
Thank you.
Because the great Ronald Reagan, I did work with his daughter. Maureen Reagan was a client of mine for many years, and she was certainly an embodiment of that kind of balance. A liberal Republican, if there was such a thing in those days, a feminist Republican. Her father used to say to her, scare the hell out of me. You scare the hell out of me. But she was a moderate Republican, a middle-of-the-road Republican, in a world where that was seemingly less and less occurring. He said, we've all heard this quote, what do you call somebody who agrees with you 70% of the time? A friend. Today, that's an enemy. Unless you're 100% absolutely in the programs, drink the red pill or the blue pill, the matrix, if you're 100% with us, if you're only 90% with us, we're going to try and kick you out of the tribe, kick you out of the system on both sides. That is a dysfunctional system in your body, in the body politic. And my late great father, who had just lived off of common sense, another Midwesterner, used to just say, your whole life has to be in balance. Can't eat too much, can't eat too little. Can't drink too much, can't drink too little. Everything in moderation, everything in balance. That was the Midwest you and I grew up in. Everything was supposed to be in the middle.
Just balance. Because you disagree, like I have Democrat friends and I mostly have voted Republican. I wouldn't think of hating my grandfather, who I adored, or hating my friends. Rob Thomas is a friend, and he's a Democrat. Doris Taylor, Democrat, and I listen to their point of view. I understand their passion points, but what I don't like is that you have to hate somebody has a different opinion. And Michael Minogue, who is CEO of Abiomed, is running for governor of Massachusetts. Highly endorsed if you're listening from Massachusetts.
Don't even know who he is.
Okay. Michael Minogue, he is a moderate Republican. He was a medical device CEO that developed Abiomed, competes with our company, Second Heart, that builds circulatory assist pumps. They became the world leader, sold to Johnson & Johnson. And he has this balance, because I think medical device CEOs have to have that. You understand the left,
but we're out of balance. The body politic is out of balance. Mm-hmm. Corporate Christians are out of balance. People in their lives are out of balance. Too much, too little of this. All go, all no, slow. Everything's fast. And so many things you can say. You've got to find that balance, work-life balance, a political balance, a corporate balance. And we used to strive for that. Now we seem to want... That doesn't seem to be the ideal stasis. It's not in balance. It's 100% push, 100% go, 100% this way. And I think that's incorrect. But what do I know? I'm just an old guy from
the Midwest. But it does equate to health. Health has to be in balance. And I think for a healthy mind and a healthy country, we need to be a little bit more in balance with the politics.
All right. That's our political shot for today here. But what I'm most excited about is your passion, your enthusiasm for really increasing longevity. And to listen to you say it, I'll give you another quote. We'll end up at this. We keep saying we're going to end here. I met somebody years ago. I was privileged to meet somebody who knew Elon Musk for a variety of reasons, had done some work with him and knew him, had spent time with him. The man we still, whether you think he's crazy or incredible, whatever he is, he may be the first trillionaire in the country here that we've ever seen. That's how successful he is. They said, when you sit with Elon and he starts telling you how we're going to Mars, first you go, yeah, we're going to Mars. Okay, yeah, okay, I'll believe this. He said, you spend enough time with him, he makes you believe. He makes you believe that the impossible is possible. That's what entrepreneurs like Howard does. I spend time with him, and he just so casually talks about, we're going to extend life. It's going to be another 20 years, a good life added to it. I'm like, Howard, come on. I know that's great on the brochure when you're raising funds and everything here, but no, I really believe this, and I'm doing it. That's the difference. There are people like that out there that are pushing the boundaries of it, and you spend enough time with them, you start to believe it. I believe that Howard's going to win the X Prize. We'll see if that turns out to be true or not here. From my lips to God's ears. All right, whatever it is, you've already made it to the final 40. We'll see if you make it to the final 10. And even if you don't, you've gone further than anybody could have even imagined. It's incredible, and I look forward to seeing where this journey goes. Because the X Prize isn't the whole reason of doing it. Even if you don't win the X Prize, everybody's going to study who did win, and they're going to adapt and figure out and what are the things they can add to it. And you've already seen, maybe my bioelectric suit will only get us so far to life longevity. Maybe it's much more of this stem cells and gene therapy and all the stuff that scares the hell out of me. But maybe that's the future here too. I don't know. You're there. We're here. And everybody listening gets to listen in on what's the future happening right now, including the future, the real future of longevity being developed places like here at the UCI Beal Applied Innovation Center. Thank you so much for coming in. Fascinating stuff. Fly in the wall, listening to what's out there as you guys are reimagining the future today here. It's incredible.
Visit lionheartlongevity.com to learn more. And if you're interested to join the protocol, we send out a survey. We put you on a Zoom or in-person meeting with one of our trusted clinicians. And we think it's a very well-designed protocol that you can feel comfortable with. And lionheartlongevity.com. Thank you.
Be part of the program. Push them over the top here. All right. Thanks for joining us. Incredible. I hope you come back more often. I don't know why we can't have these conversations more often here at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation, right out here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.